Well, good evening. It's good to see all of you out, and I think we aren't getting anything here. James, do you have the main switch turned on over there?
Maybe. Here we go. We have sound now. Very good. Thank you, James. It's been a great afternoon, a real blessing there at the nursing home, and had a good turnout. You know, it's kind of funny, the nursing home, we arrived there about 3 o'clock or so, and only 2 or 3 residents there. Then we were wondering, well, is it going to be kind of a sparse afternoon for the nursing home ministry? But you know, once we started singing and Cassie played the piano, one by one, they just started trickling in, and by the time all was said and done, the whole area was basically filled. So it's a huge blessing, and a lot of born-again believers there, and I'm sure some of them aren't, so not only edify those who are Christians, but also share the gospel with those who are lost. I kind of had kind of a sneak preview of our message for this evening, what's so bad with white hair? And asked the residents, you know, to raise your hand if you're 90 or over. And there were, I think, probably 4, maybe 5 there that were 90 or over. And then a number of them that were working toward that. But just a real blessing. So if you have a free Sunday afternoon sometimes, on the 2nd and 4th Sundays, we go to Parkridge Manor. And it's a real blessing. So if you're free anytime, I encourage you to come. Your soul will be blessed. Otherwise, as far as announcements, I invite you to a fellowship this evening after our evening service. We have a bunch of good leftovers from Maxine's birthday party yesterday. So we're going to be having that tonight after the service, so everyone's welcome to come downstairs. And then also on the back table we have some recent updates from Andy. You realize Andy is in Boston and there's probably maybe 7 or so updates, 7 copies. And you can take one of those home with you if you want to read an update on Andy. And it's just fascinating to read what's going on and how he's serving the Lord there in Boston. Otherwise, I think that's all of our announcements. We're going to have Dwayne come, and he's going to lead us in our song service this evening. You can go ahead and stand with me. Turn to number 289. 289.
Let us sing the 1st, 2nd, and 4th stanzas, please. 1, 2, and 4. There shall be showers of blessing, this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Showers of blessing, precious reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers. Today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Remain standing for prayer. Pastor, you.
Go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful privilege to meet once again in the Church of God. What a privilege it is to sing together. What a privilege to look at your word, to be challenged and encouraged by your word, to grow together into the fullness of Jesus Christ, in the fullness of the knowledge of Christ. So I do pray that you'd help us. Help us to have a desire to be more holy as you are holy, to be more loving as you have loved us. And I do pray that you just work this evening in a great way. And we thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, how he died on the cross for us, how he was buried, he rose again the third day. I thank you for that free gift of salvation to everyone who believes. So we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated now.
Thank you.
In the epistle of 1 Peter, it tells the believers that we are called to be a blessing. So as we think of showers of blessing, maybe you who know the Lord as your Savior, maybe you can be a blessing to others in some particular way. It doesn't have to be a big event or anything extreme. It can be just natural and easy. Watch for opportunities. Hymn number 339. Since I have been redeemed. Stanza number two. Ladies, sing. Everyone join in.
Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His Savior's name.
All of the men on number three, please. I have a witness bright and clear since I have been redeemed, dispelling every doubt and fear since I have been redeemed. Everyone join. Singing. 368.
368.
Stanzas 1 and 4, please.
Wonder how amazing.
that we can rest in the Lord.
Amen.
Whatever our circumstances, it's not always an easy situation. But the Word says that we can have confidence in the Word of God and in our Savior, no matter what our lot. Let's sing 527. 527, please. Don't you appreciate the piano and the organ? That was one of the first impressions that came to me when we came in this church. Old-time gospel music. There's no such thing as a little church in the mind of God. Every church is important, even if there's 10 people. But I love the music in this church. Let's sing Glory to His Name. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Okay? Let's sing.
Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. So sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied.
Everyone that has white hair, sing the third stanza. White hair or no hair? Okay, you figure it out. Let's sing.
Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name.
Number four.
Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast your poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of.
Okay, 499, sunshine in my soul. I trust that's true, that you have a bright spot in your whole soul, in all of your soul. A special place for God to continually abide. Extreme sunshine. My wife just loves to have me continue singing our VBS chorus.
We can sing it tonight if you want it.
What?
We can sing it tonight if you want it to.
Oh, dear. Not that she doesn't like it. She just doesn't want me to.
Let's hear it.
What?
Well, let's hear it.
It's good. Is that what you said?
Show us. It's good.
Right.
Good.
Let's sing it. She wants you to sing it, Dwayne. She wants you to sing it.
I think we'll sing Sunshine in My Soul.
Maxine, now that you've had your 90th birthday, we expect a little more singing from you. Yeah. Just a little bit more, okay? All right, let's sing, ladies.
There is sunshine in my soul today.
Message 506. Let us stand together, take a deep breath, and sing number 506. Now, some of you that sing parts, if you sing a part, go ahead. Some of you men follow in on the chorus and take the counterpart, okay?
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. My pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate you saved. In His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. Purchased me on the cross, He sealed my pardon, paid and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, His triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory He giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing,
thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for your good participation. We'll see what Pastor has to say about white hair.
Amen. Thank you, Cassie and Verva and Dwayne. It's good to have you back, Verva. And I hope you had a safe trip this morning and a good time. And it's good to see all of you. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the blessing and the joy it is to be here tonight. I do thank you for all those that do have white hair, those who are losing their hair, and even for those who are still young and have their full head of hair, whatever the case may be. I thank you for each one. Thank you for the blessing that you are in our lives. And I pray that you'd help us as we look into your word, that we'd be encouraged and that we'd be challenged. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, yesterday afternoon we had a good time. Saturday afternoon, you remember what we did, Maxine? Yesterday afternoon. What did we do yesterday afternoon? We had a party, didn't we? We had a birthday party for Maxine. And Maxine Williams, we celebrated her 90th birthday. Now, it's true that she's not quite 90 years old yet. She's still 89, and she won't be turning 90 until July 5th. But anyway, we celebrated your birthday yesterday, and we look forward to many more years together, many more years of serving the Lord together. But yesterday, Maxine had the opportunity to talk with a lot of her friends, a lot of her family. Now, some of them she sees every week, like some of us here. Others that she hadn't seen for months, maybe even for years. And what a blessing that was to her to be able to have that birthday party and to see all of her good friends, at least some of her good friends. There were a lot of them that didn't make it. But what a blessing that was. And Maxine soon will reach that milestone of 90 years old that not too many people will be able to reach. Because there's not many, unfortunately, that reach that milestone of 90 years old. But God has blessed her in a great way. Not only giving her length of years, and that's a great thing, but much more important than that, for much of her life she had the privilege of serving her Lord Jesus Christ. That's what really matters. And I'm just picking on Maxine right now, but there's many here this evening that have had a long life and a long life of serving the Lord. And we are so thankful for that. And you know what? I'm not just focusing on, well, I'm focusing on the older folks here, but you know what? For the younger people here, I'm one of the younger people, and we have like Kevin, and we have Chris, and Amy, and James, and others, Joy, yeah, that are just beginning our lives, and you know what? We need to be challenged too, and we have many godly examples to look up to this evening. What a blessing. Most of the years of Maxine's life, they weren't spent merely pleasing herself. Those years, those 90 years, they weren't just spent pleasing herself or pleasing her husband or pleasing her family. That wasn't the main goal. The overall goal, the overall purpose that Maxine had in mind was pleasing the God who had saved her. Wasn't it, Maxine? That was your overall goal. That was the big picture. That was her focus, serving the God who has saved her. Now, some people don't like telling other people how old they are. Okay? Now, I'm still at the point to where I don't mind if I tell others my age because I'm 31 years old. I admit I am getting older. Okay? I am getting up there. Right, Kim? I'm getting up there in years. And but some people may not appreciate it really if I told everyone how old they were on their birthday. And some people I don't even know how old they are, yeah, because they may not even tell me, and I'm their pastor. But that's okay. Now something changes as we get older, right? Now, Kevin, you don't mind telling me how old you are, right? How old are you?
9.
9. Okay, you're proud of that, right? Are you looking forward to the time when you can be as old as your brother Chris? Are you looking forward to that time? Yeah. He's eager. He can't wait. He can't wait soon enough, long enough, until he can be like his brother Chris. Now, Chris, are you still looking forward to being like some of your older brothers?
Age-wise.
Age-wise, okay. Now, see, Chris already has an idea of what happens whenever you get a little bit older. You have a few more aches and pains. You may not have quite as much energy as you once had. Whenever we're younger, you know, we're eager to say, yeah, you see the really little ones, and you ask them, how old are you? And they may put up their fingers, four. They may or may not be four whenever they do that. You know, but they're eager to tell you how old they are. Or even whenever you're a teenager, you know, you're still proud, you know, of your age. You know, I'm 12 or I'm 13, or I remember back when I said, I'm still a teenager, I'm still 19 years old. You know, I had fun with that. But then, you know what, we're young, you can't wait until you get older. You can't wait until we can have all the quote-unquote perks of being an adult. You know, so we can drive, so we can have a job and make our own money, and have our own place. You know, have all those great perks. I get to do what I want to do when I want to do it. You know, that's our thinking when we're younger. But all too soon, the young children, and even the teenagers, they start growing up and they realize that being an adult isn't all that it's cracked up to be, right? That's what we realize. My oldest sister told me, enjoy your teen years. You know, those are some of the best years of your life. You know, enjoy those years because you don't have a lot of the responsibility, a lot of the stress that comes with being an older adult. But you realize as you get older that being a responsible adult, it's not as easy as you once thought. It's not as carefree as you once thought. All of a sudden, yes, you do have you have your own money to spend. You have your own car to drive. You may have your own home or your own apartment to live in. But along with all those things, we also have all of our own bills to pay. We have our own car to fix whenever it breaks down. We have our own home to repair. We have the monthly rent to pay. We have all these things that enter into it. And on top of all of that, we have the stress and the responsibilities of day-to-day life as a working adult and parent, whatever the case may be. It's rather involved. So Kevin, enjoy your days as a young boy. You know, like, just enjoy these years. Chris, you too. Now, whenever a person gets to be my age, at the ripe old age of 31, whenever you get to be my age, you know, you think it'd be nice if time would just slow down a little bit. It'd be nice if you could just hit the pause button, you know, and be able to just sit down and relax and enjoy life. But you know what? There's no pause button in life, is there? You can't just hit that button and just sit back and relax. Well, yes, we can sit back and relax, but time just keeps on going on. Life goes on, the trials, the challenges, they keep on coming our way, don't they? And there's no way that we can just say, stop, I don't want any more. But you know what? Along with the trials and the challenges, along with those things, also comes the joys and the blessings of life. They all come together. We all must live our lives to the fullest. A person doesn't just become a godly saint with the snap of a finger. It doesn't happen just like that. All of a sudden, we don't wake up in the morning after living years of our lives. We don't just wake up in the morning and realize, wow, we've done great things for God. You know, it doesn't just happen, you know, overnight. It's not something that just happens to us. Living for Jesus takes a real commitment. Living for Jesus takes effort. It takes hard work. It takes a lot of devotion and love and sacrifice to be a Christian that is devoted to Jesus Christ. Now here at Nordville Baptist Church, we are blessed in a great way to have many older saints. It is a huge blessing to my heart to have the many older saints that are a part of our congregation. And you know what? It's a blessing for me to have the kids too, to see the kids coming in, and the younger adults, and the younger parents. That's a huge blessing, but it's a great privilege to have the older adults here. Those who have lived their lives and who are committed, not only in the past, but in the present, in the here and now, to living their all for Jesus Christ. That's a huge blessing. Now, how do we as a church look at those who have white hair? How do we look at those who maybe they don't have white hair, but they're losing some of their hair? Now, I realize that not everybody who has white or gray hair is necessarily, quote-unquote, older, because some people get gray hair whenever they're in their 20s. Okay, so it's not necessarily. But most times, if you're an older person, you do have white hair or gray hair, or you're losing your hair. But that's not saying that everyone with gray hair is older. Okay, so we have that distinction. But anyway, how do we look at those older saints in our congregation? So tonight we're going to ask ourselves, what's so bad with white hair? And what does the Bible tell us, because this is the book that we live by, what does the Bible tell us about those who have white hair, those who have lived the life, the great adventure, who have given themselves to Jesus Christ, yes, but those who have the hair to prove it? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength." And you know, we see that looking around us. The youths, those who are still young in their prime, the glory of young men is their strength. And the splendor of old men is their gray head. So having gray hair, or white hair, or silver hair, or it doesn't say here, but having no hair, okay, that's not something to be ashamed of. Having the white hair, the gray hair, is something to be proud of. That is the glory of the older people, the older men, the older women as well. The splendor of old men is their gray head. In the Old Testament law, the Israelites were instructed in several different places how they should be treating those who were their elders. We look at the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. You can turn there with me, and I'm sure you're familiar with this. But Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, as we think of the Ten Commandments, and we think of one of them that would speak with how we should be treating our elders, we come to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, and it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Now we look at all the different Ten Commandments, and you might be thinking, just by looking at all of them, you might think, you'd be tempted to think that perhaps this commandment is somehow less important than some of the other commandments, like you shall not steal, or you shall not murder, or you shall not commit adultery. But you know what? All of the Ten Commandments are very important. There's not a first tier and a second tier, or some that are really important and some that are not quite as important. All of the Ten Commandments are very important. The command to honor your father and mother is a vitally important command of God. It was something to be taken seriously. Now we also see in the law, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, we see the consequence laid out in the law for those who have stubborn disobedience against their parents. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And we realize that as we live in the church age, we do not live by the law. We can gain many spiritual principles from the law, and there are some of the Old Testament law that transfers over into the New Testament in the church age. But we realize here God's take and how God looks upon those who are disobedient to their parents. How God looks at those who are rebellious constantly against their parents. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, we'll read verses 18 through 21. Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. And here in the Old Testament law it says, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, when they have disciplined him, will not heed them, verse 19, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city, and they shall say to the elders of his city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." So it was something very important. It was a very important command to keep, to honor your father and mother. And there were severe consequences for the son who did not keep this command. The son who was consistently disobedient and rebellious. There was a severe consequence. And God wanted the children of Israel to know it is so very important for those who are young to respect and to honor those who are older than them. Not only their parents, but also others who are elders in the community. This isn't just true for the Old Testament times. We see also repeated in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." So we can't say, well, that's just in the Old Testament. That's just part of the Ten Commandments. We don't have to obey those today. We can't say that because it's repeated for us in Ephesians chapter 6. Absolutely important for children to honor their mother and their father, to look up to them with respect. But going back to the law, in Leviticus chapter 19, not only must the children honor their parents, but it's also important, as we look at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, it says here, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." It's absolutely essential that those who are younger respect their elders. And I believe this is something that is relative. Yes, children are younger, but also for people like me, it's very important for people like me to look up to respect, to honor those who are older. Like Maxine and Bob and Dwayne. It's absolutely important. And sad to say, this has been lost in our society. In our culture, there are kids, there are young people like me that do not respect the older generation. And we see the detriment, how it has affected our society. Our society is crumbling because we are no longer adhering to what God has commanded in His Word. So we need to honor those who are our elders, those who are older, those who have experienced life. But the question is, does that mean that we must look up to every elder in everything that he or she does? Do we blindly follow those who have white hair? Okay? And of course, we're thinking, no, we don't blindly follow. Are all elders equally positioned for us as role models, as mentors, as examples after whom we should pattern ourselves? And I think all of us would realize that no, there are distinctions between people who have white hair. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31, "The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness." The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. So yes, that silver head is a crown of glory, but only if you are following what God has told us in His Word. Solomon also gives us words of wisdom concerning those who are young and concerning those who are old. And we ask the question, is wisdom the sole possession, the only possession of those who are old? And also, are all white-haired men and white-haired women storehouses of wisdom? And we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13, "Better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more." So we see in the Scriptures there are distinctions between the older people, just as it is with the younger people. We realize that not all older folks are the same. As with all of humanity, there are some older folks who are saved, who are living for the Lord. There are some older folks who are lost. There are some older folks who live up to the saying, "dirty old men." You know, we hear that saying. And even as Maxine got her cane yesterday, there's a little thing, a dirty old man repellent. Remember that? Okay? There are people who are dirty old men. That's the fact of the matter. There are some who are lost and depraved. Yes, they have lived their lives, and they have never accepted Jesus Christ. And they are lost and depraved in their white hair. They have filthy imaginations. They have rotten minds and thoughts. They have vulgar speech. They may not be physically able to do all the sin that they want to do, but mentally and with their mouths, they can be just as corrupt and just as vile as the youngest teenager. Now, on the other hand, so we have those who are older and who are lost and depraved, and we realize all of us are depraved, but who are lost and who are living up the sinful life. On the other hand, there's older folks that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But even here, we have to divide the older folks. Because not everyone who is born again is living for the Lord. Not every older folk, not every older woman or older man is living their life for the Lord. There are some who are all out for God, but there are some who are just half-hearted. There are some who are backslidden, some who are carnal in their walk. So just because someone has a head of white hair doesn't mean that that person is wise. It doesn't mean that we should go up to them necessarily for advice or for counsel. We see examples in Scripture, and we're going to look at a couple different examples of both categories. We see foolish old men, and we see very godly old men in the Scriptures. And also women. We aren't excluding women here. 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13, we're going to look at a passage where we see an older man, but he was not wise. He was a foolish old man. 1 Kings chapter 13, beginning with verse 11. And we have here in the context, we have a man of God, a younger man, I believe, and he was given the task by God to go to Jeroboam, who had been a very wicked king, and he went to him, and he prophesied against the altar that he had set up, and he prophesied against the wickedness. And we find in verse 11, "Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel." This is 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 11. "An old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, 'Which way did he go?' For his sons had seen which way the man of God went, who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, 'Saddle the donkey for me.' So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, 'Are you the man of God who came from Judah?' And he said, 'I am.' Then he said to him, 'Come home with me and eat bread.' And he said, 'I cannot return with you, nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came.' He said to him, 'I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, "Bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water." He was lying to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread, and drank water in the place which the Lord said to you, "Eat no bread and drink no water," your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers." And we could continue reading here, but here we find an example in the Scriptures of an old man. He was even a prophet, but he was not a godly man. Perhaps at one time in his life he may have been a godly man, but here we find this prophet. He was not wise in his decisions. He was outright disobeying what God had told him to do. The man of God, the young man of God, I believe he was a young man, who had prophesied against Jeroboam and against his altar. He had strict commands from the Lord not to go and eat anything or drink anything as he returned a different way to his homeland of Judah. But yet we have this old prophet who met him, and we don't know his reasoning. Maybe he was a lonely old prophet. But anyway, he tells this young man of God, he tells him, and he lies to him. He says, "An angel of the Lord told me, you can come back with me and eat and drink with me and have a time of refreshment with me." And I don't know if that old prophet knew what he was doing, but really what that old prophet was doing, whenever the man of God responded in a positive way, really that was his death sentence. This is a foolish old man. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like the old prophet. The man of God, I believe he was young, he was swayed by that older prophet. He believed what that older prophet said. I believe that man of God, if anybody else would have met him, a common person on the street and said, "Come on in with me. You know, he would have said, no, I can't do that. The word of the Lord told me, you can't do that. Even the king Jeroboam said, come in and eat bread with me. But the man of God said, no, I cannot do that. But whenever this old prophet came, he was swayed in his convictions. He gave in. He believed the lie. And he disobeyed God and he suffered the consequences. But we can never blindly follow anyone. We can never, ever assume that an older, white-haired Christian is going to be a godly man or woman just by first glance. Now, yes, by living and working and serving with older folks, we can see how the Spirit of God is working in them. But whenever you first meet an older saint, we can't just automatically assume that older saint, because he has white hair and because he's in church, we can't assume that he or she is a godly man or woman. We cannot blindly follow anyone. We cannot blindly follow the advice of older folks, even if they claim it is right from the Word of God. We must compare it with Scripture. I don't want you to blindly follow me as your pastor. I want you to follow me, but follow me as I preach the Word of God. The key word is blindly. We cannot blindly follow anyone. Older Christians, if they aren't following God, they can be just as misguided as any other Christian. They can be even more so misguided and entrenched in their false beliefs. So we must be wary. We must not let our guard down whenever we see that white hair. We've looked at a negative example in 1 Kings. Let's go to the book of Luke. We're going to see some positive examples of godly men and women. Luke chapter 2. And if you're familiar with Luke, this is the narrative of the birth of Jesus Christ and the days following. And here we come to Luke chapter 2, shortly after the birth of Christ. And we read in verse 21 of Luke chapter 2, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And now we come to verse 25, our first example of a godly older man. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" So we see this godly example of an older man, Simeon. He was a devout man, a godly man, a man who was serving the Lord. And can you imagine being Simeon? He had that wonderful promise from God Himself that he would not see death until he laid his eyes upon the promised one, the Messiah, the Son of God. And you can imagine Simeon as he grew older and older and older. You can imagine him thinking, when is the Messiah going to be coming? I know he's going to come in my lifetime before I see death. And you can imagine his joy as he was led by the Holy Spirit into the temple. And as he set his eyes upon the Christ child, you can imagine the joy that just bubbled up from his heart. How he rejoiced in the Lord. He saw the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he lifted him up and he blessed God for the one who had saved the world from their sins. Not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Because that child would grow up and one day he would be a man and he would die on the cross for me and for you. He would die on that cross, he'd be put in the grave, but he would rise the third day triumphantly over death. And Simeon, he blessed the Lord whenever he saw Jesus Christ, a godly man devoted to God. But now we look at verse 36, our second example, and this time it's a godly woman. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. So our second godly example, a godly woman, there in the temple, and she devoted her life to the Lord. What did she do there in the temple? She served the Lord with fastings, with prayers, night and day. This was a lifestyle for her. She devoted herself totally to the Lord. And what did she do when she saw the Lord, the Christ child? She spoke of Him. She spoke of Jesus Christ to all those who looked around. Anna was a godly woman. And people that knew Anna, that came to the temple regularly, knew that Anna was a godly woman, and they could believe her words because of her godly testimony. And she gave a testimony to those around her that this child indeed was the Christ, the one who had saved the world from their sins. What a blessing. There's many more passages we could look at. Many other examples of godly men and women in the Scriptures. We look at the lives of the apostles, and we look at their lives. They served the Lord. Now we look at church history, church tradition, and it tells us, according to church history, that all but one of the apostles died the death of a martyr. And if that tradition is correct, we look at the apostle John, the only one, I believe, of the apostles that lived a life to old age, who died what could be called a natural death. But even then, he suffered persecution. But we look at the apostle Paul, and he too would have died a martyr's death. But he too experienced the pains and the hardships of old age. We look at the book of Philemon, and Paul refers to himself as an aged man. If you know anything about Paul, you know that Paul was a man that gave all of himself to the Lord. He went all out. He suffered so much, so many trials and tribulations and persecutions. And now as he is getting older in the faith, older in age, we come to Philemon. There's only one chapter in Philemon. We look at verses 8 through 11. And there, here Paul says, "Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me." So here we have Paul as an older man. What is he doing? Is he just sitting back, relaxing, drinking a cup of lemonade? I don't think so. Where is Paul right now as an old man? He is a prisoner there in Rome. He's not just sitting back and relaxing. He is just as zealous for the Lord as he ever was. And he is sharing the gospel. And even while he was in prison, what happens? Onesimus comes to him, a runaway slave. And Paul shares the gospel with Onesimus. And he leads him to the Lord. Now he's writing back to Onesimus' master, a Christian, and saying, I beseech you to take back this slave who now is a born-again brother in Christ. We look at Paul's life. We come to 2 Timothy chapter 4. As Paul looked back as an older man, and he evaluates his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. And what does Paul say here? "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." That's what the Apostle Paul said. May each and every one of us be able to say that same thing as we look back at our lives. Whether we are young or whether we are old or somewhere in between, may we strive each and every day of our life. May we strive to live in such a way that at the end of a day, at the end of a month, at the end of a year, we can look back and we can say, I have fought the good fight. I have given my all. I have struggled with my entire being to serve God in Jesus Christ. I have no regrets. I have fought that good fight. As we look through the pages of Scripture, it's evident that older saints, those with white hair, with gray hair, with no hair, those who are older, they play a very important role in the church. A very, very important parts of the body of Christ. Those older saints, they aren't just to sit idly by and do nothing. Okay? Yes, there are many who are retired, and whenever you're retired, you get to do all types of fun things, I guess. But whenever you're retired, you don't just sit back and do nothing, right? You're just as busy when you're retired as whenever you work, just doing different things. It should be the same way in the church. Whenever you get older, you don't just sit by on the sidelines. You need to be just as active. Now, maybe a different type of activity than when you were younger, but you have just as important a role in the church to play whenever you're older. Older Christians are just as much a part of the body as the younger Christians are. They're just as vitally important to the healthy function of the entire body of Christ. We come to Titus chapter 2. You can turn there with me. Titus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. Titus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. We have looked at these verses before in the past. But here Paul instructs Titus. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patient. In patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." As I've said before, we've looked at this passage in detail in the past, and we don't have time this evening to go through this passage in detail. But as we read these verses, it's obvious to us that older saints have an important, a vital part in the church today. What a privilege, what a responsibility for the older men to have a godly character, to be a godly example to the younger men in the church, to teach the younger men. We have the godly women specifically admonished to teach and to admonish the younger women how to be godly wives, how to love their children, how to do the things that they need to do so that the word of God may not be blasphemed. What a privilege and what a responsibility for you to be an older saint this evening, for you to be teaching and to be leaving a godly example for us younger people. So may God bless those among us who have white hair. And I'm just using that as a way to say, God bless those who are older in the congregation this evening. And may they live their lives to the fullest in obedience to the Word of God. May the older saints be able to look back at their lives and say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And yes, the older folks have much to look forward to on this earth yet, and to glory in heaven. But may all of us honor and respect and appreciate the older saints in the church and the older saints in the entire body of Christ, the church universal. Appreciate them for their godly example. And may all of us be able to say together, may God be glorified for His faithfulness, for His love, and for His mercy, not only to the older folks, but to all of us. And may God receive all of the praise. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for what we can learn concerning the older saints. And we do thank You for the older saints, not only in this church, but in the many other churches, for those older saints who are living a life committed to You. We thank You for Maxine and for the many other older saints here that have devoted their lives to serving You. And I pray even for the younger people this evening that we'd look to those godly older saints and that we'd learn from their godly examples and that we'd be able to be taught from them concerning the truths of God's Word. So I do pray that we'd all be able to live our lives in such a way that whenever we look back in the past, that we can say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have given my all for Jesus Christ. So I pray that you'd help us and give us strength as we endeavor to do these things. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Let us stand together and sing number 295 in closing. Revive us again. Everyone who is with us tonight, the visitors, and Dan's parents from Colorado, we're happy to have you with us today, and it's been a good day. Pastor, will you close?
Amen. And as always, if there's any need, any burden on your heart, I'd be more than glad to talk with you. There's any number of godly saints that would be wanting to talk with you or pray with you. At Nordville Baptist Church, we want you to grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. And as a body of believers, we want to grow together in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we do pray that even this evening, that you would even be rekindling in us that fire to be serving you with all of our hearts. And even if there's one here this evening that does not know Jesus Christ personally, I even pray this evening that that person would accept Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, that they would put their trust in you and in you alone for their eternal salvation, believing that you died on the cross for them, that you're buried, that you rose again the third day. So we do thank you for the privilege of serving you. Pray that you'd help us as we go on serving you through the rest of this week and through the rest of our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You might want to get that set.